Chevalier, and Chevalier talked to Oppenheimer, and Oppenheimer said he didn't want to have anything to do with this. George Eltington. A man's life can turn on a small event, and for Robert Oppenheimer, such an incident occurred in the winter of 1942 to 1943 in the kitchen of his Eagle Hill home. It was merely a brief conversation with a friend. But what was said, and how Oppie chose to deal with it, so shaped the remainder of his life that one is drawn to comparisons with the tragedies of classical Greece and Shakespeare. It became known as the Chevalier Affair, and over time it took on some of the qualities of Rashomon, the 1951 film by Akira Kurosawa, in which descriptions of an event vary according to the perspective of each participant. Knowing that they would soon be leaving Berkeley, the Oppenheimers invited the Chevaliers to their home for a quiet dinner. They counted Hoken and Barbara among their closest friends and wanted to share with them a special farewell. When the Chevaliers arrived, Oppie went into the kitchen to prepare a tray of martinis. Hoke followed and relayed a recent conversation he had had with their mutual acquaintance, George C. Eltington, a British-born physicist educated at Cambridge employed by the Shell Oil Company. Exactly what each man said is lost to history. Neither made contemporaneous notes of the conversation. At the time, neither appears to have considered it a momentous exchange, even though the topic was an outrageous proposal. Eltington, Chevalier reported, had solicited him to ask his friend Oppenheimer to pass information about his scientific work to a diplomat Eltington knew in the Soviet consulate in San Francisco. By all accounts, Chevaliers, Oppenheimers, and Eltontons, Oppie angrily told Hoke that he was talking about treason and that he should have nothing to do with Eltington's scheme. He was unmoved by Eltington's argument, prevalent in Berkeley's left-wing circles, that America's Soviet allies were fighting for survival while reactionaries in Washington were sabotaging the assistance that the Soviets were entitled to receive. Chevalier always insisted that he was merely alerting Oppie to Eltington's proposal rather than acting as his conduit. In either case, that is the interpretation that Oppenheimer put on what his friend told him. Viewing it thus, as a dead end that he had buried, allowed him to brush it aside for the time being as yet another manifestation of Hoke's overwrought concern for Soviet survival. Should he have informed the authorities immediately? His life would have been very different if he had. But, at the time, he could not have done so without implicating his best friend, whom he believed to be, at worst, an overenthusiastic idealist. The martinis mixed, the conversation over, the two friends rejoined their wives.